The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, it is Ash Wednesday, a day that marks the beginning of the season of Lent. I thought an appropriate way to begin Issues, etc. on a day like this is to hear a good old-fashioned Ash Wednesday sermon, what it ought to sound like when the church begins this penitential season, but also when the church, historic and authentic, observes what has been observed by Christians for, well, in this case, probably a millennia and a half. That's no mean feat. It's Wednesday, February the 17th, Ash Wednesday. We're going to kick off this today's program with a sermon review, a sermon preached on Ash Wednesday by Pastor Clint Poppy of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. After our sermon review in the first half hour of the program, Pastor Walt Snyder will join us. We're going to talk a little bit about home altars, that is, the family altar. There's the altar at church, of course. There's the Bible at church. There's the preaching and the teaching at church. But the home is also a place for inculcating our families in the faith. We'll talk about that a little bit later on this Wednesday afternoon. Later in the program, we'll focus on Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent. Dr. Paul Grimm of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will join us to talk about in detail Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us @issuesetc. Every time we review a sermon, we follow a simple diagnostic. It doesn't cover everything that you need to know about good Christian preaching, but it is a basic diagnostic for whether or not a sermon actually preaches Christ and Him crucified or something else other than Christ. It begins with, how often is Jesus mentioned? Sounds like a simple question, doesn't it? See, just a simple running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned. You might be surprised. Make the little hash marks on your piece of paper, counting how often Jesus is mentioned. Not a generic God, not some other euphemism for God, but a specific mention of Jesus by many of His titles or names. Now, if Jesus is mentioned, you can go on to part number two. That is Jesus the subject of the verbs? It's a grammatical question. Is Jesus the one driving the verbs, doing the doing in this sermon? Are you being told what Jesus has done, or are we talking about somebody else here and Jesus is just getting honorable mention? And if Jesus is mentioned and He is the subject of the verbs, a very important question needs to follow. What are the verbs? Because there is a Jesus preached often in Christianity today, a Jesus who's more life coach. He's give you kind of the spiritual makeover or remodel your spiritual house. He inspires, He motivates, He teaches you how, He makes an example. But He doesn't do the stuff that Scripture talks about, the verbs that Scripture talks about, living for you, suffering for you, dying for you. That often gets left out when people think they're preaching about Jesus. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is He the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? That's our diagnostic every time we review a sermon here on Issues, etc. The sermon today, an Ash Wednesday sermon preached by Pastor Clint Poppy at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we come in to God's house on this most somber
and holy day, Ash Wednesday. We look around and everything is black by design. We look on each other's foreheads and we see, in many cases, ashes, death, mortality, sin, despair. I can tell you without a doubt that Ash Wednesday is the messiest day in the church. Messy for you, messy for me. And that reminds us that sin is messy. Death is dirty business. You may be thinking that as you come into God's house on this beginning of our 40-day journey to the cross, the beginning of our somber Lenten season, that tonight and for 40 days, you will hear a message of darkness and doom and gloom and get your act straight with God or else. My friends, you may be in for a bit of a surprise. A real surprise. A surprise because today is not a day of doom and gloom. Today is a day of joy. And believe it or not, today is a day of celebration. Because without any merit on our part, without any encouragement from God, and without any advice from you or me or the leaders in the church, God takes the darkness and the ashes of Ash Wednesday and He does a Good Friday. Ash Wednesday and Good Friday go together. Today, I want you to hear and remember one word. One word. We heard it in our epistle reading. You are reconciled to God, made right. You are reconciled to Him, not by what you do, not by what you say, not by how often you pray. You are reconciled to God by the holy, precious, innocent suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is finished. He is satisfied, eternally satisfied. All of your sins belong to Jesus. And He took them and He killed them at Calvary's cross. And He left them behind in the empty tomb. Jesus died for you. Jesus lives for you. Your sins are forgiven. You are reconciled. And if you don't believe that, then you have a false God. If you don't believe that, you have a God of your own making. A God that you have to satisfy. A God that you have to appease. A God that you have to earn or merit favor for. A God that rewards you for your work. How easy it is for people reconciled and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How easy it is for us to hear that word and then to go about our business, our life business, our work business, our church business, as if we are not reconciled and as if we have a God that we must earn and work and merit favor for.
Now, already in this sermon, preached on the occasion of Ash Wednesday, already we have heard clearly the message of our sin and the answer, a very specific answer, you will note, in what Jesus has done for us. This is the form of Christian preaching. This isn't just Ash Wednesday stuff. This is the form of Christian preaching for the church year-round. Jesus says that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name to all nations. That's what He commissions His disciples to do. That's what the church is still doing as it is faithful to His command. And this is the true comfort, not only of Ash Wednesday or of Lent, but for the church year round, that we have been relieved of the burden of pleasing God because Christ has pleased God for us. So already we've had a complete sermon, but there's more.
Jesus warns us in the gospel reading. Jesus warns us. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. And then he gives three specific examples. Giving and praying and fasting. Giving, praying, and fasting. Good things, all in and of themselves. But when we do them to bring attention to ourselves, they become sin. They become idolatry. Giving. Giving is good. But how many times? How many times don't we scan the pages of the newspaper? And we look for the rich and famous. And we see what marvelous gifts they have given. Or we go to buildings. Buildings all over our community. Even some of our churches. And what do we see? We see the names of the big donors. Want to be on the board of directors? Make a big gift. Want to be a leader in the church? Write out a big check. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. God says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
We'll come back to the sermon preached by Pastor Clint Poppy of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, reviewing a sermon for Ash Wednesday, this Wednesday, February the 17th, here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, more sermon review. Then a little bit later, we'll talk about home altars and Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent with Dr. Paul Grimm. Stay tuned.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click Donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, February the 17th. We're coming to you live as we review a sermon for Ash Wednesday preached by Pastor Clint Poppy of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Of course, the text is the traditional reading for Ash Wednesday from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, where Jesus warns us of practicing our righteousness before God. Now, having laid out what our true assurance is in what Christ has done for us, not in what we have done for ourselves or for God or for others, and showing that our righteousness does not avail before God, but only Christ's righteousness does avail before God. How are we to practice these things like giving and fasting and praying? Jesus is pretty stern about it. It can go from service to neighbor to sin rather quickly. Let's hear more.
God says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing with regard to these kinds of gifts. Praying. Who can be against praying? But Jesus warns us, when our prayers become a show to draw attention to ourselves, they become sin. Remember the man who went to the temple to pray? Lord, I thank you that I'm not like him or her. How many times don't we turn on the TV and we see the rich, famous sports star, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help me hit a home run on national TV? Or what about when we go to a restaurant? And as is our habit at home, is our habit out to eat, and we pray out loud, we teach our children proper piety and prayer. But maybe, just maybe, when we see our fellow church member on the other side of the restaurant, maybe we pray just a little bit louder so they'll notice us. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. You may be wondering, how is our less than skinny preacher going to address the topic of fasting? Obviously, not a spiritual gift of mine. My friends, fasting is a way to discipline the body. It is a good and God-pleasing thing, something that is lost in our culture. And it's been replaced by something else. Yeah, you know, we call it a diet. We diet for all kinds of reasons, but many times to bring attention to ourselves. See how my clothes hang on me? Imagine that one. See how I had to put in an extra hole or two on my belt? Have you heard about the pastor out on the East Coast? He has challenged his congregation. For every member of the congregation, he has challenged them to give, to donate $100 for every pound he loses. And his goal is 100 pounds. Well, maybe that's not such a bad idea. You know, I don't know if I can do 100, but I'll bet I could do 75. Are you up for the challenge? We'll get out the pledge cards right now. We'll read them out loud to see everybody who is willing to accept the challenge. $100 a pound for every pound the pastor loses. And if everybody commits, we can pay off the church debt. What do you think? And then, when it works, I'll be on national TV. I'll bet I get a big book deal. I'll bet I can retire and go all over the country and talk about my dieting and stewardship prowess, right? Did you hear the pronouns? I, me, I, me, I, me. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. My friends, today we come into God's house, and many times we must admit that we fall into the same trap of doing what we do to try to make God notice, of doing what we do to try to make God love us more or forgive us more. We have fallen into the trap that our God must be bargained with by our giving, by our praying, and perhaps even our dieting. It's Ash Wednesday. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. It's time for all of our false idols, all of them, to be put to death. All of us deserve eternal punishment, eternal separation from God. The wages of sin is death.
Now, he's done something interesting here. He's established at the beginning of the sermon what our true and abiding hope is, that our righteousness does not avail before God. And then, on the basis of what Jesus says there in the Sermon on the Mount, he has said, we still have a problem because our righteousness, although it does not avail before God, can often be an obstacle, become an idol, a false god itself. And he's quite right. A good time to preach the law and in all of its sternness. The wages of sin is death, and we are guilty of these sins. But also, Ash Wednesday is a good time to answer the accusations of that law and to answer the condemnation of our sin and its guilt with the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ.
And as I look around, I see, even in the mirror, sinners. My friends, remember the good news of Ash Wednesday. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus went to the paymaster and took our payroll full and complete. He took all of our sin, every sin, past, present, and future, full and complete. He stretches out his arm and bleeds and dies to make full payment for your sins and my sins and the sins of the world. That's why Friday is called Good Friday. And that's why we can look at each other, even in the midst of our own mortality and the midst of our own death, and we can celebrate. Why? Because you are reconciled to God. No one can take that away from you. It is a pure gift. Stop your bargaining. Stop your attempting to satisfy God. He's already satisfied by Jesus Christ. My friends, you are reconciled. That's good news. That's good news on Ash Wednesday. That's good news in Lent. That's good news 24/7, 365. That is the good news that sustains us in good times and in bad. And now, filled with this good news, we want to give. Not to earn merit and favor with God, but because our neighbor and our charities can use and need our gifts. Reconciled to God, we want to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray for your family. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for the world and this congregation. And if you want to, go ahead and fast. It's a good discipline, a discipline that we could use more of in this world of death and sin. But we do all these things not to impress others. We do all these things in joyous response to the good news of Jesus. It's Ash Wednesday. You are reconciled. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time talking about home altars. The altar at home, not a substitute for the altar at church, but the altar at home, the father, the mother, as those who are, well, their first duty is not just to keep the kids warm and well fed, but to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Isn't it amazing that when one is actually freed from the obligation, the perceived obligation to God or to yourself to somehow please God or satisfy God, then all these things that were before for us idols become true service to the neighbor. Pastor Poppy put it quite well. Ash Wednesday is not a time to reflect upon ourselves except our sinfulness and our need for Jesus Christ. Ash Wednesday and Lent are a time to reflect and take comfort in Christ himself. His life lived for us. His perfect righteousness that does avail before God, that cannot be taken away from us. To reflect not upon what we need to do to get right with God, not upon what we need to do to get our lives straightened out. There's really no hope of that. If all we needed was someone to help us straighten out our lives, we didn't need Jesus dead on a cross. We need a substitute, and that's exactly who Jesus is for us. We'll be right back to talk about home altars with Pastor Walt Schneider.
Salvation, how he lived and how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me his body. Give me his blood.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kieschnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you're a regular listener of my commentaries, you've heard me stand up for patients like Terry Schiavo, who are callously referred to as vegetative. Humans who are profoundly disabled should not be called vegetables. A major concern with these patients is whether or not they're aware of their surroundings. Even so, they shouldn't be intentionally killed, but knowing could help in their care. New research published in the New England Journal of Medicine shows many patients in coma-like conditions are aware. It's an important breakthrough because it provides scientific documentation we shouldn't be killing these people. Hopefully, it will change the way the medical community views and treats these individuals. It's too late for Terry, but maybe lives will be spared in the future.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.